This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's podcast is brought to you by the Friends of the Magic Word. This week, we'd like to welcome a new friend of the Magic Word, Mr. Dwayne Schenck. Thank you very much, Dwayne. I appreciate you donating and using PayPal to make that donation. For those of you who might be interested in learning how that you can become a friend of the Magic Word and help us with your financial donations or your monthly pledges, just go to themagicwordpodcast.com. Up in the top left, you should see a little button over there that will say donate through PayPal, or that you can also then go to patreon.com and look for the Magic Word Podcast, and you will be able to help us there. And for more information, just go to the Magic Word Podcast and click on Become a Friend, and you'll find out all that you need to know and why that we do need to have your financial support. So again, thank you, Dwayne, and welcome to our small yet growing group. Well, this week we're going to travel to Dallas, Texas, where we're going to speak with someone where Dallas is actually part of his name. The gentleman we're going to speak to is Dal Sanders, and he is someone that many of you should know. He was a past national president of the Society of American Magicians. He has also received an Award of Merit from the Academy of Magical Arts here in 2019 for his work in helping get pushed through Congress an act that will soon have magic recognized as a performing art, which might lead eventually to us being able to receive federal funds, just as other arts are throughout the country, as well as other kinds of things. I think it's kind of interesting. He has a musical background. He likes to play. Also that he is someone who has put together, actually, he is now, well, for a long time, he was a member of the Red Shoe Club. And for those of you who know what that is, you know what that is. And those of you who don't, just think McDonald's. Anyhow, so that was one of those secret parts of his life that he did for decades, for a long time. And then also now he actually has a television show, which I believe is over the internet, and something that he is a big overseas in Asia. Well, he's going to talk about all that and a lot more. So please welcome my guest this week, Mr. Dal Sanders, here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and today I have with me another longtime friend that I have known for a long number of years, and if you haven't met him, then why not? You should. He gets around to about every place. In fact, he's the past national president of the Society of American Magicians. He also is one of the only three members of the Intermagic Circle with Gold Star in Texas. That would mean that there's him and Bill Palmer and one other guy.
Would be you.
That'd be me. Okay, so yeah, the three of us. And aside from that, he also was the one who wrote the manual for magic that is used by Ronald McDonald, by the clowns.
That's right.
And most recently, I think this is fantastic, had received an award of merit from the Academy of Magical Arts for the work that he's done. And in particular, one of the things that he has done is helped to elevate the art of magic to be recognized as an art, because for so long that we have been delegated just to the back page, it seems like, of the newspapers.
And here, being a craft or a hobby.
That's right, a craft or a hobby. And so he's been able to get Congress to recognize that, and there's still some more work to do, and we'll talk about that then as well. He is also a musician as well as a magician. In fact, that I am here in his music room, where it looks like, is this a harpsichord over here?
Or no, that's an antique pump organ.
A pump organ.
And that's kind of interesting, because that was the organ that was in the church that's my wife Cindy's grandparents got married in.
Wow.
And that was played when they got married.
No kidding. Wow. And then a piano and several guitars and lots of stuff then around us then as well. And that's just part of it. Then he has an annual pool party, which he's well known for, and it's a fun time annually. Everybody comes always the last Sunday in the month of July, and a lot of magicians come and kind of hang out, and it starts in the afternoon, and hamburgers, hot dogs, and goes long into the evening, and have fire eaters and other kinds of people that come out late in the evening. Magicians are performing and everything, too. It's just a fun time. So if you're ever in Dallas area around the end of July, you need to stop by. He just has a
big blowout because he loves magic so much and he gives back to the community in so many ways. And he's also a producer where he's produced a lot of shows, one of them being Magic in the Living Room, which is happening over in Richardson from time to time. Happens once a month on a Tuesday. In addition to that, he is well known as a children's entertainer and has got a van full of all kinds of really cool stuff of illusions, and he is the owner of AmazingAttractions.com, and you need to check that out if you're going to be looking for him. And those are just a few things that hopefully are some highlights we'll have a chance to talk about, and maybe some more beyond that. But please welcome my friend, Mr. Dal Sanders. Hey, well, Dal.
Hi, nice to see you. And I tell you, I'm exhausted now just listening to that.
You wonder how you get all that done.
I need to get a hobby.
You know, that's funny. I was just talking with Bruce Chadwick over in Fort Worth recently, and when I was visiting with him, his face was just red as a beet, and he said he'd been scuba diving, and because he gives scuba diving lessons, and he was out in the sun too long, apparently, and anyhow, but the point is that he said, I've been doing magic all my life, and he said, I realized a while back I need to get a hobby, and I got into scuba diving to have something completely different. And I think that is important, that magicians actually have something else that they can talk about and something that they can enjoy outside of that, just as people who I don't care what your job is, if you're a fireman, a doctor, or a lawyer, whatever, that you're going to have some sort of an outside activity to give your life kind of some, broaden your horizons, I guess, have other things to talk about. You
know? Well, it's interesting because I think now my hobby would probably be music.
Yeah.
But in the early days of my career, I was known as Dal Rock and Roll Sanders in radio
really?
Stations.
Okay.
My job was music, and my hobby was magic.
And you were a DJ. So,
I was a rock and roll DJ. I was program director of several top album rock stations.
Okay. Yes. They play deep cuts and longer sets. Well,
I introduced bands like Supertramp and the song Heartache Tonight by the Eagles. I was one of the first people in the country to play it. And
speaking of which, I'm glad you mentioned that. Tell me if this is true or not, but I understand that the Eagles were friends when they were at the University of North Texas, and they were all music majors, and because that the mascot for University of North Texas was the Eagles, that they called themselves the Eagles.
I believe that that's true.
Okay.
I believe that's true somewhat.
Okay.
They started off here in Dallas, in the Dallas area. Well, several of them did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to L.A., and they were Linda Ronstadt's backup band.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, Linda Ronstadt's backup band when she was on tour.
Uh-huh.
And I was actually interviewing Linda Ronstadt. I was a writer, too, rock and roll writer, and I got to interview Linda Ronstadt.
For the Rolling Stone or something? Or?
Well, that one didn't get picked up by Rolling Stone. That one was for a magazine called Creative Loafing.
How long did that last?
Oh, it's still around. It's,
really?
It's like the Dallas Observer here in Dallas, but it's one of those small local music and entertainment papers that, you know, they're all over the United States.
Right. It's like you pick up at the grocery store kind of a thing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I had a beat, if you will, a place to interview people. It was the Great Southeast Music Hall. And I would interview people every week at the Great Southeast Music Hall. And I got to interview Linda Ronstadt before she was Linda Ronstadt. You know, she had one or two hits out, and her backup band was the Eagles. And it just so happened that she was told in Atlanta that the guys were going to form their own band.
Yeah.
And she found out that night. So there's more story behind that, but we're not going to hit that. But
we're talking about magic, not music necessarily.
That's right.
But that'd be a whole different podcast to talk about. That's very interesting. Very interesting. One of the things, of course, most recently that you had received this Award of Merit, which is, I'm sure, tell me about the story. You know, I'm often curious when people receive these awards, how they're notified.
Well, actually, Gabe Blackstone called me.
Yeah.
I was my dad passed away in January, and I'm coming back from my dad's wake, driving back.
From Louisiana?
From Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, okay.
So it's one of those long, boring drives. And I'm going through Louisiana, oddly enough, in Shreveport, where I started my career in magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of a little nostalgic and everything. And the phone rings, and it's Gabe Blackstone. Well, if you've ever driven through I-20 in Shreveport, you know that the roads are terrible.
Yeah.
And there's lots of road noise, and I can barely hear what she's saying anyway between all the road noise. Not like this podcast. This podcast sounds good. You know, I'm talking about all over the road. And so Gay asked me, told me that I needed to reserve May 4th on my calendar for the awards banquet. And she was talking about someone getting the award, and I wasn't really putting two and two together at all. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like listening to your introduction to me just then.
Yeah.
You know, just at the beginning of this podcast, I'm going like, whoa.
Separating yourself.
Is that me? And so I actually asked Gay, you know, because sometimes she asks me to, you know, write an article about the Masters of Illusion or something like that. I've done a couple of things like that with the Magic Compass. And so I thought she was going to ask me to write something.
Right.
And I said, well, who is this for, Gay? And there was a pause. She says, it's for you. So I'm like, oh. So
you almost want to pull off the road for a minute. Say,
I really almost drove right off the road. It was, I was very surprised. Mm-hmm. And of course, she asked me not to say anything.
Sure.
So there were months that I couldn't say anything. And finally, they called, and it was just an amazing time. They bought my plane ticket out, and they, you know, put us in the hotel next door and treated Cindy and I like we were kings. And it was just so very, very nice.
First class
all the way. And then, of course, it occurred to me later, they know how to do award shows in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I should have expected first class
all
the way.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
You know, they've seen a few over the years. So it was just amazing.
And didn't Ray Anderson give you some advice?
Ray Anderson was one of the few people that I told. And he said that this is the night that people, that magicians that you've always wanted to talk to will actually come up and talk to you. So take advantage of it and sit back and enjoy the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Ray, of course, won the year before, won an
performing award fellowship, I think.
Performing fellowship the year before. And so he said, just sit back and enjoy it and take it all in.
Yeah.
And anyone you've ever wanted to go talk to, this is your chance to go talk to them.
Yeah.
And so I did. I took full advantage of that. It was greatness. I had so much fun.
That's wonderful. You mentioned the Magic Compass also. I forgot in my introduction to talk about that too, because that's something that you've been in charge of. That's a kind of a digital magazine that's affiliated with the SAM.
Yes.
Can you tell me something about that?
It's just a news source for the magic community, or actually anybody who's interested in magic. Mm-hmm. We don't, of course, talk about any secrets or anything like that on the Magic Compass. We do talk about magic news, and it's just a place that you can go.
They have links to other longer articles.
Sometimes we just write all the articles ourselves. We're actually looking for writers right now. So if there's anybody listening who would like to write for the Magic Compass, I would surely like to talk to you. Please get in touch.
It's kind of like a club newsletter in a way, but a little bit more with international appeal,
yes.
I guess. And so with that, is a weekly, monthly, daily, how often is it updated as
just
necessary?
As whenever I get around to it.
Okay.
Yes.
That's why I was wondering, because if someone was going to be committing to actually writing articles, it wouldn't be something that
would
have a deadline necessarily.
No, I would put it up whenever they sent me an
article. Whenever they get around. So you could have a lot of people obviously come and do that. So in that case, if they want to get in touch with first of all, where would they find that, and then how do they get in touch with you?
It's magiccompass.com.
Okay.
I think it's magic-compass.
Okay.
.com. Or dash for those of you who don't know what a hyphen is. It's just get in touch with me, or you can just send me an email at dal@stagemagic.com.
Stagemagic.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I know you have various email addresses, you know, then too. I mentioned Amazing Attractions, and that really is the company in which that you route, I guess, all of your illusion shows and everything through that as well.
Well, it's interesting. We were talking about Shreveport. When I started my career in Shreveport, there were a few other entertainers in the area, and there were some that got along great with, but there were some that would literally stab you in the back for a $75 birthday party. And I just hated that.
No different now.
You know,
I just had a long conversation with Hal Myers about that very thing.
We say that it's no different now, but Scott, it can be different.
But, well, it should be. Yeah.
We should, you know, part of the SAM is magic unity might. And the unity part just kind of gets overlooked so much. Mm-hmm. We should be building each other up. So when I moved to Dallas, I went to LA first to try out for pilot season and to see if I could get on a TV show or anything like that, because, you know, I considered mm-hmm. myself an actor first.
Yeah.
I'd go to a audition and be in a room with 100 people that looked just like me. And so finally I decided, okay, I have an offer for regular work in Dallas. I'm going to take it. So mm-hmm. I moved back to Dallas.
Right.
While I was in LA, I got to visit at the Magic Castle, and I saw a different type of magicians that weren't stabbing each other in the back. They were supporting each other. They were showing each other moves. They were helping each other. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just a bunch of, and there were a lot of old people there, but the old people were sharing too.
Right.
It wasn't the old people saying, you need to prove yourself before you can sit down at this table. They were open and they were sharing, and I saw a brand new type of entertainment. And I really saw that while I was visiting the castle in the mm-hmm. evenings. So when I moved to Dallas, I decided I'm going to try to do everything I can to foster that. So I came to Dallas, and of course there were people who tried to keep me out of the Dallas Magic Club and everything. They were doing the same thing that I saw in Shreveport, but I didn't let that bother me. I kept performing. I kept trying to break through. And one person went and stood up in front of those old guys in the Magic Club.
Yeah.
And that one person said, you need to get off his back and go see him and support him. He's good. He's gonna be something. Mm-hmm. And that one person was Lisa Minna, who was a college student. And she went up to these old grizzled guys and stood up for me. And I will never, never forget that one random act of kindness. She didn't have to do that, mm-hmm. but she did. And it was so wonderful. And all of a sudden, a couple of the guys started coming to the shows, and I got to know some of the people. And next thing I knew, I was in the middle of it. Well, when we started Amazing Attractions, I wanted to do it with that idea that we weren't going to be an agency. Amazing Attractions is more like a co-op of entertainers. We're entertainers that work together. We share leads. We share expenses. We share anything we can to try to build a community. And when we first started the company, you could call and you might talk to a magician, or you might talk to a clown, or a juggler, or a mime, or, oh, well, I don't guess you'd really talk to a mime. But you'd talk to one of these entertainers, and they would all, you know, try to, if they couldn't fill the job, then they'd refer someone else that could. And so we built a community with Amazing Attractions that really, I think, has helped the whole community of entertainers here in the Dallas market.
That is very important. You know, I remember talking with Kent Cummins down in Austin, and that he was telling me about one time that someone had called him about doing a children's show. Well, he specializes really more in the corporate work and everything. He said, really, I would recommend that you talk to Peter the Adequate. Mm. And they hired him. The next year, they called him back and said, are you going to be available to do a show? And so what was wrong? Peter not good? He said, he was fantastic. He was the best. Can't imagine anybody better, but, you know, we wanted to have you. So, well, I told you, you know, that he's the one who specialized in that, and that's why that I had him instead of me doing that. And why would you call me? I said, well, if you recommend him, you must be better than him. It was just a different perspective or philosophy, you know, of the buying public, I guess, you know, thinking that kind of a thing. It's kind of like that mentality, I guess, the more you charge that you're in an elite category and
absolutely,
they want to have you, you know, because if you charge too little, you must not be worth that much or whatever. I think that's great that, you know, you have that kind of community that you have built from scratch, really, so people are not trying to claw at each other's jobs when you go into a restaurant and somebody trying to, you know, say, hey, I can do it better than that, or I'll work for tips or whatever, you know.
My philosophy is when another magician works, as long as he's a good magician and does a good job, then that's good for me. Because like you heard from Kent, that person may not be available next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll go to you. And when I work, that's good for all the other magicians in the market.
Yeah.
Because I might not be available next time. So we need to build each other. We need to stop stabbing each other in the back. We need to stop magic is not a competitive art. Magic is a collaborative art. We're stronger when we collaborate, when we work together. And I just believe that with every ounce of who I am. And to be honest, I think that's what the real secret behind the award from the Magic Castle was about. Working with other people, finding ways to cooperate and collaborate and grow. Part of what the Magic Castle Award, the Award of Merit, said was for getting Congress to recognize magic as an art. That started when I went to an SAM, National Council meeting, and they were saying, as far as my part of it is concerned, they were saying, well, we need to get mayors and people like that to make a proclamation, mm-hmm. because eventually this will get to Congress, and Congress will say, well, all these mayors and even governors have said that magic is an art. Maybe we should proclaim it as an art too. Mm-hmm. And I asked a simple question. I said, don't we know anybody in our membership that's a politician that can help us get this done? And Scott, the people looked at me like I had asked the strangest question in the world. I like to call it, they looked at me like a hog staring at a wristwatch. Well, I know that's something, but what are you saying? And I said, never mind. I know someone. And I have a longtime friend who I'd known since he was like 18 or 19, Eric Hoag, who is the mayor of Wiley.
And Wiley, Texas, by the
Wiley,
way.
Wiley, Texas, yes, just it, outside of Dallas. And a little piece of heaven, he likes to call it. I went to him and I said, okay, I need you to take off your friend hat, I need you to take off your magic hat, put on your politician hat. And I laid out the situation. I said, how do we do this? And he just kind of smiled at me and said, we can do this. We can get this done.
Wow.
So he went to Pete Sessions, who was our representative in the House of Representatives. And he laid it out. And Pete and Eric and I all worked together and cooperated and collaborated and got this thing done. And it happened on April 28th, 2014. I was the president of the SAM at the time. I happened to be in D.C., happened, quotation marks, to be in D.C. when it was done.
Proclaimed, yeah.
And it was a great move. Of course, it wasn't enough. You know, what we need now is to have a resolution passed in the House, which will be ratified by the Senate and then signed by the president, which will pretty much make magic and art as kind of a law, if you will. And that's where we are now. We've had two resolutions that have been proposed and then never even made it to the floor. There's another resolution that hopefully will be done soon. Eric has met a person. I'm happy that I got to be part of the introduction. Mm-hmm. He's met a person. You may have heard of him. He's a young magician named David Copperfield.
Yes.
And so Eric and David have built up a really, really strong friendship. And they're taking what Eric and I started to the next level through the resolution stage. And hopefully this will get passed. Hopefully I'll get to see this. But strangely enough, we're going through the same path and the same strategy that Jazz went through. And actually, I looked at when I started getting the idea to do this, I went, okay, let's see what other art has been recently recognized. Oh, jazz. Jazz is the American music form. That it's indigenous American music, jazz is. And jazz wasn't recognized as an art till 1999.
Holy moly, no kidding.
No kidding. And it took about 10 years for jazz to first be recognized as a proclamation on the floor, and then a resolution, and then through the Senate, mm-hmm. and then through the president. So we are really on the same pattern that jazz went through.
Right.
It's
just going to take time.
It just takes time.
So it's not going to be something that's going to happen by the end of this year or whenever. I mean,
happen by the end of this year.
You just got to keep pushing it, and mm-hmm. you just can't kind of let it languish. Is there anything that the listeners can do or through their contacts or anything?
Contact your local representative. Ask them to get behind this.
What's the HR? What's the House Resolution Bill?
There's not a new one right now.
Okay.
We've had two resolutions that died. We've got a new Senate and a new Congress right now.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been proposed yet. When it gets proposed, I think that Representative Mark Pecan, who is also happens to be an SAM member.
He also happens to be, a supporter of the magic word.
Oh, really?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, he's an awesome guy.
He is a nice guy. I've met him.
And also Representative Kim Titus from Las Vegas is in on this. And I think there's some others, too. So I think it'll be proposed again, hopefully soon, if we can just get, you know, both sides of the aisle talking to each other.
Right. Well, you know, now, of course, with there are always political intrigue, I guess, and divisiveness and everything, but no more in my lifetime than I've seen it right now that I think of any of us. And the point is, I think this would be a nice kind of a breath of fresh air if they have something that they can kind of work on, you know, instead of biting at each other then right now.
And everybody can agree that magic is fun. And magic is an art. Everybody should be able to agree on
that. I should certainly hope so. You know that a friend of mine, Harry Maurer's wife, Carol Ann, used to go to the newspaper whenever that she would have some press release of a show that, you know, Harry's well known as a cruise ship magician, but he also, when he's on land, then does a lot of other shows here locally or in Houston and around the area. But she would take things, you know, to the newspaper, and they said, well, we're not going to publish that, you know, in the entertainment section because we don't recognize magic as being a recognized, quote, entertainment type of thing. People don't care, you know, about that. And so that was the decision of the newspaper for all magic press releases, basically. So the kind of thing you're talking about, if you had that, you could override that saying, well, the Congress recognizes this, you know, as the same as ballet and orchestras. And I mean, this is an art.
But in the meantime, I think it's imperative that we just not wait for Congress, that we try to do things locally in all of our local markets to try to elevate and advance the art of magic. I mean, that's...
In what way? What would be the one tangible thing that someone who is a listener, who is a magician, who's a performer, could do?
Do a show. Do a show, and don't just do a show.
Well.
And do it well. And don't just do it with yourself. Bring in your fellow magicians. That's exactly what we're doing with Magic in the Living Room.
Talk about that for a minute. So how'd that get started? And this is something I think it's interesting about how that other clubs that are, or individuals, you know, I've gotten emails from people saying, I really like it when you're talking about the magic theaters that are different places, like a Smoke and Mirrors Magic Theater that you know, Danny Archer and Marty's got going out in Philadelphia. And of course, then we now have the Magic Lounge, and then there's the House of Cards in Nashville, the Magic Island will be reopening. Different kinds of venues that are high end, but they're also smaller things, like let's say what Christian Catalina are doing on their own in Indianapolis, certainly Paul Gertner doing something in Boston. There are different kinds of venues that people find, and they have to go through a process to find that for themselves. And so that's what I want you to kind of tell me. How would you recommend that people actually go?
Well,
find
again,
something?
Again, the whole idea is collaboration. So we'll
okay.
say that from the beginning.
Okay.
Okay. So I've got a friend that I've known actually since he was in high school. He is the graphic artist that has designed all of our posters for Magic in the Living Room. Mm-hmm. And if you go to magiclivingroom.com or follow us on Facebook, you'll see all these great posters. He's brought back a kind of comic art that we saw back in the 50s and 60s, and it's, like you mentioned earlier, Tom, terrific.
Yeah.
So it's really, really creative and fun. And but anyway, before we got there, he had started getting interested in magic again. I'd gotten him to do my website, stagemagic.com, because he is a graphic artist and a designer. And he got back into magic. He's also a terrific musician. In fact, his father was a musician. His grandfather was a musician. Hmm. His grandfather's grandfather was a musician. And I met him initially through his dad. His dad was Cindy's piano teacher growing up in Shreveport. And he also owned a music shop, and I bought a couple of guitars from his dad.
Wow.
So, and everything small circles.
It is, isn't it?
And, so he lives here in Dallas now, and we got back in touch, and you know he started getting interested in magic and started coming to the Magic Club, and his wife she works for an insurance company, and their main office is in Chicago, and he said and remember he's a musician, so he's played a lot of clubs around town.
Sure.
So He's going to support her at the main office, go up there with her for a meeting. And okay. And he says, where can I see magic in Chicago? And I said, Chicago Magic Lounge. And he says, oh, okay, great. So he came back and he says, Dal, we have got to do this. And I said, yeah, you're absolutely right. I would love to. No, we have got to do this, he says. And I say, yeah, I understand, Brad. We need to do this. We've got to do this. And I know a place. Okay, I'm going to shut up now and let you talk. And he says, there's this little club called The Line Public House over on Beltline Road up in Richardson that has a side room that they didn't know what to do with. Mm-hmm. They tried folk music in there and different things, and they'd have like 10 people in there, 12 people.
And you said this place is kind of like a horseshoe, and on one side it's a sports bar, and the other side is just kind of open.
Right. The right side is a sports bar. The front side, if you go straight in, you'll go into the kitchen. And if you go to the left side, it's the side room they call the living room.
Okay.
And they, you know, sometimes they rented it out for meetings or private parties or something like that, but mm-hmm. they didn't really have a purpose for that right. room. So I went in there, and I mean, this it really needed work, and we have helped them work on it for a year. Okay. And but we did the first one on in March of 2018, mm-hmm. and we packed the room. We sold it out.
Yeah,
and it seats about 50. Okay, and we probably had 60 people in that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought,
suddenly that,
that's a one-shot deal. That won't happen next month in April, and it happened again in April.
Yeah.
And so we established the first Tuesday as our regular time. And every time we've been in there, we have sold the room out. Sometimes we oversell the room, and we have to move to the big room, and we've sold that out a few times too.
Mm.
Kyle Marlett came down, and we sold out the big room. We did an all-women magician mm-hmm. In February, and we sold it out then. And so there's been several times we've totally sold out the small room and had to move to the big room, and it's just been a lot of fun. And we do it as a collaborative effort. We have a crew of four people that are regulars. We call ourselves the Unusual Suspects.
Mm-hmm.
It's me, Michael Squires, Ian Richards, and Frank Seltzer,
mm-hmm.
and Brad gets up and he does something. You know, it's always interesting when the piano player.
Yeah.
Oh, and we have live music.
Live music, yeah.
So instead of all the music being on pre-recorded, mm-hmm. Brad plays behind a lot of the acts, too. Now, some acts still want to use their pre-recorded music,
right.
but Brad will play behind the live people.
So that's kind of the way that I think that people can kind of get into that, just kind of be open to opportunities and kind of look around. There's got to be some place, even in your small town or some city, that's going to be nearby that perhaps has a room that's not being used, and just kind of talk with a manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just find a place. Just find a place and get people up and get a variety of people up.
Mm-hmm.
We rotate people every single month, so you're going to see a different show every single month. The club wants us to go on a more regular basis. And the slowdown there is me. I'm just going like, I don't know if I want to do it more often.
We got a lot of other projects and irons in the fire, so to speak,
yes.
that you're working on then too. I know because that one of the other things that you're doing now every week is the All In with Brian Weatherford television show.
Yes.
Which is another thing that is actually on biztv.net or something.
Biztv.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That is available online, but then also just local.
They also have a Roku channel.
Okay. I was going to say, you and Cindy then have another show that you're doing, producing, doing, having cartoons and things as well. Or,
yeah.
Tell me about that show.
Well, Cartoon Circus is the name of that show. And before this show, I would have said that business cards are no longer a valid form of marketing.
Yeah.
I thought that it was old school, and, you know, I've very rarely handed out a business card, and, you know, until this came out. And then one time we got a call from a guy who had picked up a business card from Cindy when she's performing as her clown character, Boopsy the Clown.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's Boopsy with a P, not a Boobsy.
Yeah. That's right.
It's a whole different
boop
character.
C. Boop, like boop, boop,
yeah.
Be doop.
Like Betty Boop.
Yes. Boopsy the Clown. And Cindy, I mean, if you haven't seen her perform as a clown, she is just adorable. Mm-hmm. The way she got into clowning was she saw all the clowns that were making, you know, good money doing birthday parties. Mm-hmm. She says, I want to do that. Can you write a show for me? And I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we helped her develop her makeup and everything, and she's adorable. And little girls love having a female magical character mm-hmm. that they can latch onto as their own. I mean, she's like the Pied Piper of little 5 and 6 and 7 year old girls. It's amazing.
And so she's on the show with you then?
Yes.
Are you like a ringleader or something?
I'm the ringmaster.
Master, okay.
So finally, Joel called the producer. He called the business card that he had kept for 10 years.
Wow.
He said, I always wanted to do something with this clown and this magician, and I didn't know what. I didn't have the thing yet. So he started, over the years, he started a company, he started a network, and he specialized in showing old movies. And he'd have, like, girls doing the scary movies,
like a vampire kind of a thing,
vampire type of thing. But Mistress Scarlet has flaming red hair, okay. and everything, and drinks Bloody Marys.
But okay. So, but what channel is this on?
This is Spider TV, SPYDAR TV.
Okay.
And
it's just a local cable station.
Well, no, it's actually started off as we were just on Hot TV on five channels.
Okay.
Hot TV had five, was a local network, a small network that was in Dallas, Houston, McAllen, Texas, Sacramento, California, and Las Vegas.
Okay.
How they got in those places, I don't know. Okay. It was a strange combination. Yeah. So he was showing these shows on those things, and he called us up and asked us, he said, I want to do this show. I want to call it Cartoon Circus. I want to have a host. I want it to look like the TV shows that were on in the 60s.
Yeah.
And I'm going, and I had these big ideas. I want to do, like, you know, Pee Wee Herman with the talking furniture and everything, and go all out. And he says, no, I want it to look like the shows in the 60s. And I'm going, like, but what about the production value? He said, no, I want it to look like a nostalgia show. So the parents and grandparents walking through the room would look at it and say, oh, I recognize shows like this, and sit down and watch the shows too. He wanted cartoons from the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Right.
The old cartoons. And so he had this concept in his head, and I said, well, okay, we can do that. And he said, now, I want to get the EI, the educational and instructional button, so that, you know, we can pass the FCC regulations for educational and instructional.
Right.
Do you do any educational magic?
Do I?
And I just kind of smiled, and I said, Joel, I have 40 years of school show business under my belt. And I'm not one to get rid of a prop or a show when I rotate it out. I have a whole warehouse full of stuff mm-hmm. that's just sitting. And Cindy's sitting there going, like, oh, does he ever? And so once again, I got to prove to my lovely wife, it is important to hold on to things. You don't have to sell something just because you're not using it anymore.
Right. It'll come around.
It'll come around. You'll find a use for it again, and you won't have to go buy a new one.
Right. Look at the money we save by storing this.
That's right. Exactly. And so we've done 6 seasons now. Mm-hmm. And every season, you know, we'll say, okay, this season we're going to...
And how many shows are in a season? And what time?
Just 13.
And what day of the week? Saturdays or what?
Well, it started off at just Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is only 3 years ago. The show launched 3 years ago. Yeah. And we've done 6 seasons. Because it started off in just Saturdays. And then Spider TV came on, and more networks started picking up Spider, and suddenly we were national. And then some of these providers in other countries started picking up Spider TV.
Other countries?
Other countries.
Like Mexico, Canada? Are you talking about like India and Italy or what?
I am talking about we are all over the world.
Wow.
Simul TV picked up, they took 86 programs. Now, we a year ago, May, a year ago this past May, the owner of Simul TV came in, and he wanted to meet with Cindy and I and Joel. So he met with Joel first, and then Cindy and I met with him on the second part of the meeting. We had to meet him at the airport. I mean, you know, he was just flying in just to talk to us.
Yeah.
He is the largest provider of English language content in Asia.
Wow. Okay.
He had already gotten us in Japan. Now, my niece teaches English in Japan. Imagine her excitement when she turned on her TV and saw Uncle Dal on TV in Japan. But he had taken 86 programs, English language programs, to the Chinese government.
Right.
13 of them were approved. One of those 13 were Cindy's and my program, Cartoon Circus. People are learning English from our little cartoon show. Mm-hmm. And we're in 60 million homes in China, which is just, I mean, that's amazing to me. I can't even begin to tell you how weird that feels to me. Now, all that being said, I'll be honest, I'm a little embarrassed at the show. You know, it's done as if it's live.
Yeah.
We have live audience in the kids.
I was going to say, you have kids, like a peanut gallery, like Howdy Doody show?
Yeah, we have about anywhere from 7 to 15 kids in the in the audience.
Like Bozo the Show.
Yeah.
Clown or whatever, yeah.
Except it's a little tiny studio, so we don't have a lot of room for people.
Right.
And so we have as many as we can. And sometimes, you know, we try to do it in one take. And sometimes those takes just aren't as good as I want them to be.
Now, I'm assuming that you use the children then for tricks, and then you say, okay, we're going to now go to a cartoon break. And
absolutely.
And then come back afterwards, and you do probably, was it a half-hour show?
It's a half-hour show,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so you do probably three tricks within the context of the half-hour and
two or three
cartoons.
Yes. And we also have brought in other entertainers. We brought in Pick Smith. He does marionettes. Yeah. We've had hula hoop people and other clowns and ventriloquists. Yes. Mm-hmm. Margaret Clouder has been in, different people. Mm-hmm. Cause it really is a circus, you know, we really want it to look like a circus, but, it got picked up and then they started running it daily.
Holy moly.
That's why we had to increase our seasons.
Yeah, okay.
And we're getting ready to launch season 7. Right now, I'm pulling things together even as we speak this summer.
Do you write the whole season or do you write from week to week? Or, I mean, how much of an advance are you on?
I write as far ahead as I can.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times we go in and we find that we're writing on the fly.
Do you run through, have a rehearsal kind of a thing where you're working with your assistants or?
We have about enough time to do two run-throughs.
Okay.
And then we go live.
Okay.
And, you know, by live, they're recording it.
Right.
But it's...
But, I mean, you and Cindy practice something at home as far as if you got some scripting to do.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And fortunately, though, Cindy and I work off each other so well.
Oh, yeah.
We've been married 33 years now. Mm-hmm. Almost 33 years.
That's great.
And so she can finish my sentences and usually does.
I remember that.
Yes. So... but it's been a fun show, and it's, and again, I was a little embarrassed because it's not the production quality I wanted. It looks like it came out of the 60s. It really does.
Yeah. Which is what the feel they wanted to begin with.
Which is what they wanted. And so I'm.
Maybe that's why the Chinese picked it up. There was something about that that kind of reminded them of what they thought American TV was like.
Exactly. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. But so I wasn't really telling anybody about it. And then it started being shown in Las Vegas and Los Angeles.
And you start having friends here seeing the show.
And people, I was at the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine came up. I was just visiting one night. And a friend of mine came up and said, I saw your show. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. No, it's great. And I say, yeah, but it's, yeah, this whole nostalgia thing is coming back. And it's such a cool feel and a cool vibe. It's like what we used to watch when we were kids. And I'm going like, okay, obviously I'm on the show and I'm not getting this.
You guys are getting it. Yeah.
That's
funny.
I am so glad you're enjoying it. And then, Bruce Calver.
Yeah.
Told me a story last summer.
And by the way, people who don't know, Bruce Calver is also a past national president of the SAM.
Yes.
As well, and also has a column in MUM.
That's right. And he's also a...
He works for Apple.
He works for Apple. He's one of the Apple geniuses.
Genius, right.
So he was at his at the store and helping a lady with her iPad, and the little three-year-old kid was playing with the iPhone. And Bruce always talks about why do we let these three-year-old kids slobber all over these $1,000 phones and everything? And so the kid was watching something on the iPhone, and he looked down, and the child was watching our show.
Wow.
And so Bruce looks down and says, oh, yeah, I know them. And the lady says, oh, yeah, we watch them every day. We love it. He says, no, I know them. So it's like.
That's my friend Al.
And that's what he says.
You have a name that you go by on the show?
I'm the Ringmaster.
Just the Ringmaster.
Ringmaster Dal.
Okay.
So, and she's, of course, Boopsie the Clown. But Joel Stevens, the producer, has been very, very kind. He's given us, because we wear so many hats, we get a director credit, we get, Cindy's got costuming credit, and mm-hmm. and all these different credits for the show, which are, you know.
Right.
Just helps our percentage points.
It does.
So.
Well, and then this is, I guess, a small microcosm, which is redundant. If it's small, it's a microcosm. of when that you have the all-in with Brian Weatherford, because that's another television show that's on the internet.
And that's another network.
Another network. So tell me a little bit how that got started and what that's all about, too.
Last September 10th. And I remember it very, very well.
And as you're listening to this, it's 2019, by the way.
Yes, that's right. Well, September 10th, 2018, I should say. Mm-hmm. We were invited to go in to do a segment, an interview segment on All In with Brian Weatherford, which was a fairly new show. He'd launched in July, and mm-hmm. so he'd just been on a couple of months. And so we went on, and we were planning on doing one 10-minute segment of the show. And we had a really good time. As you know, because you were on yesterday, Brian's really easy to talk to.
Oh, sure.
He's a very good interviewer, mm-hmm. and he kind of keeps things
going. He's done
this
enough, and so he knows, what to do and what to say.
And so he said, while we were on the air, would you like to stay for another segment? And, of course, I had brought in more magic than I could perform in 10 minutes. I said,
which is good advice for people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we also teach magic with the Dallas Magic Academy. Cindy and I also own the Dallas Magic Academy, which you didn't mention, by the way.
Another credit. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention. I kind of ran out of breath, not out of credits.
we teach magic to kids.
Yes, you do.
And I happen to have.
Year round, not just the summer. Summer's big time for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I happen to have my bag with me because we had just come from a pitch. Mm-hmm. And so I grabbed it real quick and pulled out some of the magic tricks that we teach kids and showed the file folders that we teach them. Again, we teach the Discover Magic course. And if you don't know about that, check out discovermagic.com.
And also that there was a podcast I did with Michael Amar. I would recommend going back, in which it was called Discover Magic, because he was the one that kind of got that thing started.
Absolutely.
And working with the SAM, I believe, as well. Is that right? Or was he was part of that?
Well, he had actually started at the Magic Summit that the SAM held.
That was it.
And that's where he met Brian South, who used to own Creative Magic, mm-hmm. and Michael Rosander, who's also part of it.
But you can go back and listen to that podcast to get more details about what this whole thing is about and how you can be part of that, because you can actually teach magic in your region as well, which is a great way of getting your name out there, because people want to hire an expert, and a lot of times, particularly if you're doing children's shows, that you're teaching children, and then the parents will want to hire the teacher to come and do birthday parties and whatever other kinds of things. Business leads to business, and this is a good way of establishing yourself as the, quote, expert in your local area, and it's the Discover Magic.
Discovermagic.com, yes. You can check it out. Anyway, I had pulled out some of my Discover Magic stuff, and I was showing him some of the things in the second segment that we did. And so after the shoot, he was showing another part of the studio that looked like a brick wall.
Yeah.
He said,
kind of like a comedy club thing.
Yeah. Well, he said that this over there, that's a part of the studio we use for Songwriter Tuesdays.
Oh.
We have songwriters come up, and we just use that corner for Songwriter Tuesdays.
Right.
And I said, exactly what you just said. It looks like the brick wall behind in a comedy club that magicians perform in front of. And I said, you ought to have Magic Mondays. And they said, oh, we'd love to do that, but we don't know how to find magicians. And I just kind of smiled and said,
you found one.
Let me handle that for you. So since then, we started off with just three magicians. The first one was, again, Mayor Hoag. Mm-hmm. We had Eric Hoag, the Magic Mayor, on. Then we had Mike Squires, one of the Unusual Suspects, mm-hmm. from Magic in the Living Room. And then Ian Richards, another one of the Unusual Suspects from Magic in the Living Room. Had all three of those on, and they went over so well. They said, yeah, let's just do this every single Monday. So every single Monday since then, we've had a different magician on. I try to keep people that are part of our Magic Club
Dallas
family.
Magic Club. Mm-hmm.
Well, Dallas and Fort Worth Magic Clubs.
Yeah.
Try to keep people that are in the family that are already giving back to the other magicians and have gotten the idea of the being collaborative and working
coming
together.
Coming back to unity. It's all coming back to that, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
So we focus on that. We have had a couple of them who are not members of the Dallas Magic Club, but you were once one of the...
I was the president of the TAOM of Dallas, and
yeah, that's right.
I consider myself to be part of the Dallas Club.
Yes, and so we have had other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's a magician who's coming through town and wants to do this, get in touch with me again, DallasStageMagic.com.
Right. And it's fairly short. There are two 10-minute segments that they shoot.
And it goes quickly.
Boy, does it.
Even if you are a fast talker.
Fast talker.
Mr. Scott Wells.
Yes.
So, and this will go up on the...
Dallas Magic Club YouTube channel.
Dallas Magic Club YouTube channel. And also... Even though this is a small channel here in the Dallas area, they also have a Roku channel, BizVod, which stands for Video on Demand, and they have 44 million subscribers on BizVod.
Wow!
And so there's no telling who, what business person, just scrolling through that will happen to see your video and say, "Yeah, let's find out who this is."
That's exactly right. And what I like about this also is that the variety of business people that he has come in, and that's why it's called, you know, BizNet, is because they'll be talking about branding, they're talking about his car wash, or if somebody's got whatever kind of a small business. And he is a good interviewer, as you said, and he engages you quickly and becomes your friend. So this way that he asks interesting questions about the business and how do you get started and whatever. But also, so if somebody's really wanting to get their car washed, you need to really go down over here to Charlie's Car Wash or whatever it is that he's kind of pitching. And so as you're scrolling through and you're watching a lot of these things, as you say, that on Roku, there might be something that attracts your attention. The same thing like when he was talking with me. So you really specialize in this kind of thing, you know, for trade shows or whatever, you know. And so we really kind of went down that road. So in other words, he's really trying to help pitch you that you can ultimately use to help. He's making a commercial for you that you can take these excerpts and put them on your website. And
a
all that
20-minute commercial.
That's exactly what it is. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say.
And that's just, to me, that's just amazing. I mean, we've done a few things. We were asked to, Cindy and I were asked to go on one of these competition shows for business, small business things. And
kind of like a Shark Tank kind of thing?
Not a Shark Tank. It was before Shark Tank, actually, came out. Just before Shark Tank.
Okay.
But it was a competition type of show where you'd be almost like a cook-off type show. One
okay.
of these cooking shows. Where
yeah, like the
Iron
Chef.
Top Chef, Iron Chef, things like that,
right.
Except for small businesses.
Gotcha.
And they were going to help you along the way to move your business up to the next level and everything. And we didn't pass the audition. Cindy and I have a huge problem. We have been asked to be on so many reality TV shows as husband and wife, but we always fail for one reason.
And that is?
We don't fight.
Oh, there's no great backstory there.
There's no great, you know, getting mad at each other and yelling at each other. And that's what sells reality television.
That's true. A good point.
And so
they don't really want a loving couple, you know, that's
supportive of each other.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, because we're boring.
Well,
it's not compelling.
I think for the most part that people like reality shows because they like the conflict, because they're saying, gee, you know, our relationship is bad, but not as bad as them. You know, and so if it's good, then they're going to be feeling bad about themselves. And so they'd rather have where there's conflicts, kind of what my thinking has always been.
And I think that's absolutely on target. So so we didn't get past the audition, but they videotaped our audition.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, if you'd like that 2 minutes of videotape talking about your business, then we'll sell it to you. And I said, oh, great. How much? $800. And I gladly put my $800 down for 2 minutes of produced video.
Yeah.
And so having 20 minutes, and I'm not going to mention the price that
they're
charging.
It's very reasonable.
It's extremely reasonable.
Yeah.
It's such a great deal. And they also give you little shorter
clips,
segments
right.
that you can use for
social media. Right.
And it's just, they're a business network. They're a business
they
network.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
Yep. And it's a small studio, but it's tight, and that they keep on time. They've got, you know, an intern there that's giving you the time and the countdown and everything, as well as a producer, you know, with the switching the screens, et cetera.
Yeah, Dave over there, and the production director, mm-hmm. you know, the all the thing, editor, everything that he's doing. Yeah. He is one of the best editors, editing on the fly, people I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm just in awe. I sit back there behind the console sometimes and just watch him doing this thing that I've seen full rooms of people doing.
And he's just doing one guy.
And he's yeah. one guy doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
You know, there was something I touched on earlier whenever I had given some of your early credits, and then also that you had kept coming back to as far as scripting, which is very important that most magicians don't do. But you were the one also responsible for writing scripts and magic for Ronald McDonald. Tell me about how that came about.
Well, I worked with the Ronald McDonald program for 40 years, I got the chance to create scripts and create magic and new magic. And in the past 12 or 15 years, well, since about 2002 or something,
okay.
The boss of the program mm-hmm. Referred to me as his magic maven. So okay. that was how he introduced me to people.
Yeah.
And if he needed something done, he would come to me. And again, nothing gets done in a vacuum. Nothing gets done by one person.
True.
It's
a community.
It's a community. It's a collaborative effort. I got to choose different people to work with. And I would, you know, say, okay, we're going to do a show this time about, say, leadership. So I would pick a team and we would put the team together and we'd go somewhere. When we did the leadership show, we went to Minnesota in the middle of winter.
Perfect timing.
There was snow up to my chest.
Yeah, but the rooms are cheap.
I was raised in the South. I live in the South. I do not understand this white frozen stuff falling out of the sky for no apparent reason. It's
what did we do
yes,
wrong?
But we went there, and yeah. You know, we weren't tempted to leave the meeting room or anything. So we banged this thing out and put together a really, really wonderful show that Ronald McDonald would then go perform mm-hmm. all over the country. In fact, all over the world.
Wow.
They took me to China and South America and Europe to teach our magic to Ronald McDonald there, mm-hmm. and it was just amazing to teach the full program.
Did they in other countries, not you, or talking about that? I guess speak their native language, or was it done in mime?
Oh, magic. No, it was...
Okay. I mean, you teach them in English, obviously, and then mm-hmm. they would translate that to their own language. And
they all had headsets.
Okay.
Oh. You know, with all the different dialects and everything sure. spoken all over Asia.
Oh, yeah.
They all had headsets. It was like being at the United Nations or something.
Wow.
It
must have been something.
And I would tell a joke, and I'd wait 5 seconds, and then they would all laugh. And it was... Now, I'm not sure...
It's kind of surreal.
I'm not sure if the translators were just saying... Okay, he told a joke. Everybody laugh now. Or if they really got it,
yeah.
you know. But uh-huh. but it was great fun, and I made mm-hmm. I made lifelong friends
yeah.
Doing that, and it was a blast to go and teach magic and also learn magic from some of these other people. We were watching Ronald McDonald perform in China,
yeah.
And Cindy was with me, and she leaned over to me and said, do you understand a word that they're saying? And I said, no. But at the same time, I understand every word they're saying because I wrote that routine.
Hmm.
And so it was kind of fun to see something that I created being done in a language I had no understanding of. So,
wow.
It was a blast.
Why do you think it is that the Ronald clown actually was replaced, and they, you know, after so many years?
Well, Ronald is still around, just in a different level.
Okay.
And you know, it's just, I think I have no idea. I don't.
Okay. I don't expect that. I understand, but I know they have the Ronald McDonald houses, and they're going to mm-hmm. forever keep those, which are great places for families to go whenever that they're having children who are in the hospital or in hospice or in cancer care or whatever, and there needs to be a place for families to stay for an extended period of time. And Ronald McDonald houses,
it provides a home
wonderful.
Away from home.
Yes, that's a great thing.
When I first started performing, and I still do this, I would go visit kids in the hospital if I was in a city outside of my own,
mm-hmm.
And I'd, you know, you also see the parents, and the parents would be, you know, they would either sleep in that uncomfortable chair, yep, or they'd go out and sleep in the car so they'd be close to the children. I even saw moms that would like unroll a bedroll and sleep underneath the hospital bed of their kids. Hmm. Well, the Ronald McDonald House provides a home away from home for these parents and the children, mm-hmm, so they can still the keep siblings, that family unit together. Yeah. And
during a difficult time.
During a difficult time. And it's probably the best thing that McDonald's, I mean, I love myself Big Mac, but this is so much better than a Big Mac or the fries or
it's satisfying.
It's awesome. And I'm still part of the McDonald's family. I still go out as Dal Sanders and perform for them. And, mm-hmm, and Thursday night, I'll be going to the scholarship banquet where, a group of high school seniors, just graduated high school seniors, mm-hmm, will be receiving scholarships from Ronald McDonald House Foundation.
To go to be presenting the
to go away to college. I'll just be doing magic. I won't be doing the presenting.
Yeah,
but I'll get to still be part of that. And you know, they look for ways to keep me involved in the program.
Sounds great. And it goes back again to unity and giving back to the organization, everything. When you were president of the SAM, I assume that was your foundation was unity and trying to get more people to give back.
And exactly right. That was every president looks for something. Mm-hmm. And I went back to the unity. And I also went back, and I mentioned this earlier. If you look at the very first meeting of the Society of American Magicians, which was the very first magic organization.
Mm-hmm. IBM came later, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so did the Magic Circle, which we're both members of.
Yep.
And the AMA, which we're both members of. All these other magic organizations came later. But all these magic organizations have this one thing that started with the SAM. And they said that their goal was very, very simple. It was to elevate and advance the art of magic. It didn't say anything else. You can look at those first documents, and that's all it says.
Yeah.
And that is our job.
Right.
Right there, to elevate and advance the art of magic. All these other things are great, and they're extra.
Right. But go back to the basics.
But go back to the basics. And so that's what mine was. Magic, unity, might. You don't get the might without the magic. You don't get the magic or the might without the unity. They all work together, MUM.
Well, that's a good way of trying to start wrapping all this up then as well, because the name of my podcast, as you know, because I know you're a listener of, you put this on the Magic Compass and other places in which you help promote the podcast, and I appreciate that a lot and immensely. But what is your magic word? What's your phrase? What's important to you?
My magic word.
Or philosophy. It doesn't have to be just one word, of course.
Well, I think collaborate, mm-hmm, work together. Again, it's for me, it goes all the way back to that. The thing that I saw at the Magic Castle were people working together,
right?
Not putting each other down. And I'm sure there are some people even at the castle that are vindictive and backbiting and things like that. Fortunately, I don't see that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not there every night, so I don't see that. But I do see people working together and elevating and advancing the art of magic. So collaborate, work together, cooperate, unity.
We'll go a lot further if we actually work together.
That's the only way we'll go anywhere at all.
Yeah.
You know, we...
Not just in magic, but in life and everything, whatever your endeavor might be.
The thing with Congress would not have happened had we not gotten Eric Hoag involved. Mm-hmm. The thing with the magic in the living room would not have happened if we hadn't gotten Brad Kozak and the other guys involved. The Dallas Magic Club would not have been what it is today had the people who we stand on their shoulders started working together, mm-hmm, way back in 1924.
Right.
So,
good advice. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. It's been wonderful.
Thanks for having me.
Time went fast. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Dal Sanders, and this is Scotty Allen. Well, thank you, Dal. I appreciate you being my guest this week on the Magic Word Podcast, and also for letting me share your story with perhaps a few people who don't know you, and for those who do, that they might get to know you even yet a little bit better. There was a lot of interesting information in there, and I look forward to hopefully getting the act through Congress so this way that we can fully get the kind of funding and recognition that magic so deserves. And I also want to thank again Mr. Dwayne Schenck for becoming a new friend of the Magic Word, and also the rest of the friends of the Magic Word who do give their ongoing pledges in order to keep this podcast going. If you'd like to know more information, again, go check it out at themagicwordpodcast.com and see how that you can help. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember, why don't we all try to just work together and make this a better world? This is Scotty out.